the night to the Thursday night, wisdom call and Bible study and prayer. I am Pastor Lester Hayes here with my lovely wife, Pastor Sharon Hayes, New Freedom Christian Ministry. And we're also joined tonight by Pastor Eric, representing himself, and Pastor Phoebe Davis from More Than Conquered Voice of Christ Ministry. And we hear some other voices on tonight. I think that was Sister Ethel and whoever else is out there joining with us tonight. You're certainly welcome. We pray that you continue to chime in, join with us, amen, virtually. You can also visit with us on second Sundays at 725 East Calhoun Street, and any other time we do virtual church, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, podcast, Podbean. We have many platforms where we come together Wednesday night, our power of prayer. Tonight, we're wisdom call, Bible study, and prayer. And Sunday morning at 6 a.m., we have School of Healing, followed by 11 o'clock, non-denominational worship service. And then we come back on Monday morning at 6 a.m. for Creating a Prayer Culture for God. Tuesday morning, Creating a Prayer Culture for God at 6 a.m. Same number you dialed in tonight. And then we come back on Saturday morning, and we do Creating a Prayer Culture for God. So again, welcome tonight. Thank you for joining us tonight. Amen. And we're going to go ahead and get started. We'll pray and get started tonight as we come before the throne of God tonight. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We give you glory and honor. We come to make known to you tonight our adoration and love this day. We thank you, Lord God, for keeping us throughout the day. We thank you for the many, many testimonies and the many, many miracles that you've already performed. We cannot forget all of your benefits. So as we come together tonight in the awesome, incredible, amazing name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we come tonight with great expectation that we're going to hear what thus says the Spirit of the Lord tonight to us, your believers, to us, the assembly of God, the Iglesia, the called out, set aside, consecrated for your sacred purpose. We're here tonight, we believe, by divine appointment and assignment. This is our place of duty tonight. This is our place of gathering. This is now our virtual sanctuary, and we are welcoming your presence tonight, Lord God. And so we thank you tonight, and we praise you, because you said when two or three gather together in my name, and that's the name we gather tonight, the name of Jesus, that you are there in the midst of them. And we thank you tonight. We know that when you come, Lord God, you come to do the will of your Father that sent you. And we just give you praise, Lord, and honor for just being in our midst tonight, Lord God. And we know that we'll experience the fullness of joy and your pleasures and the pleasures of God at your right hand forevermore. So we thank you. And Holy Ghost, we lift the Thursday night wisdom call and Bible study up to you tonight. And we just thank you, Spirit of Truth, tonight for just bringing everything that we studied and prepared back to our remembrance. Speak to us tonight. Use us tonight. Use our mind. Use our voices, our tongues. Use our hearts, our spirit, our soul, and our bodies tonight to bring forth a word tonight for the people of God, to bring rest to them, to bring mental rest, to bring emotional rest, physical rest, to bring social rest, creative rest, sensory rest, to bring spiritual rest to the people of God tonight. This is our prayer tonight. Now we ask you to have your way tonight in the name of Jesus. Lord, let your will be done in our lives on this line tonight as it is in heaven, as we continue to pray the broader picture, that your will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. We pray tonight that you will forgive us of our sins and heal our land tonight. Our land needs healing tonight. We're praying that for an outpouring of your spirit on all flesh tonight, all over the world, God. Anybody that's not saved, God, that they'll be saved tonight, backsliders will return back to you, Lord God. And we're praying that prodigal sons and daughters will make an intelligent decision as they come to their right mind and return back to their first love, God. And so we just pray tonight for the sick that we've been praying for their healing. We demand it tonight by the power and authority of your spoken word, and also by the stripes of Jesus tonight, that was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, where the chastisement of our peace was upon him, with whose stripes we are healed. We make this declaration by faith that all those on our list that we've been praying for, we continue to pray for their healing. We thank you for healing them, Lord God, and we just give you praise in the name of Jesus. We pray for Pastor Eric, Pastor Phoebe, and Mother Helen's healing. We pray for Pastor Lester, Pastor Sharon's healing. We pray for Minister Bigger's healing, Brother Harris' healing, Brother Ivan, Mrs. Gussie Davis, Mr. C.T. Davis, Minister Biggles, and Sister Sonia. Sonia, Lord God, our niece, God. We just lift all these up to you and pray for their healing tonight. Even this McNair, God, in the name of Jesus, and all others that are out there, God, standing in the need of healing, Lord God. We continue to lift up, hallelujah, Sister Dale and her family, her household, her sister. God, we just lift them up. We pray tonight, Lord God, for the sister that was on the line this morning for prayer. We lift up her, her brother, her family, her household. And Father, we just praying right now in the name of Jesus for healing tonight, whether that be physical healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing, financial healing, God, whatever the need is, environmental healing, social healing. God, we're praying that healing for everything in their life that pertains to life and godliness, that God, they'll walk in divine health and healing, because you have declared, beloved, I wish above all things that that would have prospered and be in health, even as your soul prospered. So we just thank you, because if you saved us, you saved us, we're saved. If you heal us, we're healed. You healed us, and therefore you remain our praise, God. And so we will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in our mouth. God, you have already magnified your word above all your name. And we just thank you, God, hallelujah, that your word is above your name, God. And we thank you that your word will go out and not return void as we open up your word tonight, God. We thank you for your word that we found and we did eat it, and it becomes joy and rejoices to our hearts. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We thank you that at the entrance of that word, it giveth light. We thank you that heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will never, ever pass away. We thank you for sending your word to heal our disease and to rescue us from destruction. We thank you, God, that you sent your word to revive us and give us life. Now let this word go out tonight. Let it be wisdom to those who lack wisdom, and out of all they're getting, let them get some understanding tonight. Oh, we give you praise, glory, and honor, Lord God, for your word tonight, God. Let it come alive and let it be living. Let it be spirit and let it be life, Lord God. Let it set the captives free tonight. Open blind eyes tonight. Open hearts and minds tonight, God. Oh, as we open up your perfect law of living and continue therein, as we look therein, oh, God, let us tonight, we got to behold and see wondrous things in your word for the plan of salvation. Make it known to us tonight as we strive right now, God, for that rest. Let the night be a night where we enter into a creative rest, because we take the word of God, your yoke, and we learn of you, and you give us rest, God. You said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, God. There's seven levels of rest, God, that we want to create through the word of God. So we thank you tonight and praise you tonight as we deal with social rest tonight, God. Now, Father, enlighten us tonight as we open up the word, as we pray together, Lord God. Abba, Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is your kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Now, Father, we continue to lift up the situation in Maryland at the Key Bridge, that they'll continue, Lord God, to remove the debris and find those missing bodies and return the remains back to their family. We'll continue to pray, God, for those seven souls that were lost, Lord God, a part of the list of addresses for our feeding crew, Lord. We're praying in the name of Jesus for a ceasefire, that those supplies will continue to get in and bring it into the bombing, oh God, and the denial and the blockage that blocking them, Lord God, and let those essential resources reach the destination that it was intended when they left port. We just give you praise, Lord, and honor right now. We're praying for an end to the war, peace in Jerusalem. And God, we're just praying in this cycle of polls being open for early voting, that God, in the name of Jesus, people will vote their conscience and put their fingers down and stop pointing their fingers and not vote this party, but vote for our country, our democracy, our constitution. God, we're just praying for the righteous to be in charge and the unrighteous to be taken down only by you, God, because you hold the heart of the king in your hands, Lord God. You turn it whatsoever you will. We pray for this present administration, that they govern in a way that we'll live quiet, tranquil, and peaceful lives, and to the glory of God. And so, Father, we're just praying right now in the name of Jesus against dictatorship. We're praying against authoritarianism, God. And we're just praying, God, in the name of Jesus, we'll be a government of the people, for the people, and by the people, and that that government will once again be on your shoulders and rest on your shoulders, God. So we pray for all that are in authority right now, God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, God, because promotions come for you and no authority that be that you do not allow it, God. And so, Father, we lift it all up to you tonight in Jesus' name. Have your way. Now, Holy Ghost, lead, God, and direct us tonight in the study. For it's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. All right then, well tonight, like we said, we're gonna deal with one of the other areas of rest tonight, social rest. And last time we were together was on Tuesday. And we kind of talked out of the book of Hebrews, the fourth chapter. We dealt with those 11 verses there. And tonight we want to pick up our study on two passages of scripture there out of the book of Psalms, chapter 55, verse 20 through 23 of the King James Bible. And we're talking about social rest. And so we know David dealt with a lot of social issues, a lot of social complexity, dealing with different people. You know, there were people that wanted to get rid of David and replace David. There was no other people who loved David like they loved God, because he was such a blessed king, and he led them to victory after victory, but he did not do it without making mistakes and falling short. It's what happens when you take your eyes off of God. You know, we have rest in the Prince of Peace, but the minute we take our eyes off of him, we have unrest. And the scripture validates this. It says in the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 26, verse 3, the King James Bible, it says, he whose mind is stayed on the Lord, he keep him in perfect peace. And that perfect peace leads to a perfect rest. Oh. And you know, when you're in the position that he was in, there are a lot of social factors that you have to deal with as a king, as a man after God's own heart. You got to please God, but then you got to please the people that you lead. You know, we should only be concerned about pleasing God. But let's just face it, if you are in charge and you have built such a reputation and people respect you, they have high expectations of you, because you're bringing rest to them by the way you lead. And David, you know, he had many, many lessons that he learned about rest and unrest, you know, but he was well respected, but he was also hated. Some of it was in his own household, you know, place where you should have rest. But the tone is important that you set, because if you set it in the home, well, I say in your personal life, and then it shows, it carries over in your home, guess what? It'll spill over out there in the social arena too. But once you take your eyes off of God, that kind of goes away. But getting back hooked up with God, it can be recovered. It can be restored. So let's see what David had to say right here. He says, he has put forth his hand against such as be at peace with him. He has broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. Now he's talking about David here, or David is describing it. He's really describing himself, but it's like he's speaking in a third person here. I'm in the book of Psalms right now, chapter 55, verse 20 to 23, the King James Bible, my scripture reference tonight. You know, and it goes on to say here, the words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. That's who David. David was a great warrior. He was a proven warrior. And armies feared him. And he had such a loyal following. And long as, you know, David kept his eyes on God, they won war. They won. People feared them. He bought. And one thing I love about David, he didn't just go out and pick fights. Everything he did, I believe he was sent out by God, because they had some crazy folks surrounding, you know, the provinces and the areas that David was respected as king. And David had a responsibility. Okay. So he had worship in his heart, but at the same time, he was a skilled warrior. But he wasn't a killer. He didn't just go out, you know, savagely killing people. Everything was motivated by the Spirit of God, you know, and it came down from God. God allowed him to have, you know, dominion over his enemy. And it says his words were softer than oil, yet were they like a dawn sword, a sword. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. Now, David is making a comparison here. Like he's saying, look, long as I put my trust in God, I'm going to have rest in my own life. I'm going to have rest in my household. I'm going to have rest in the kingdom. I'm going to have rest outside of the kingdom because, you know, I'm a man of war when I need to be, but I'm also a worshiper when I need to be. But he said, one thing is for sure. As long as I continue to find that peace, that rest that God gives me, then God will take care of what happens in the broader picture, the broader landscape. Even my enemies that are much stronger, it's more of them than it is with us. But he understood my victory come from God. You know, everything happens out there around me, the kingdoms around me, the enemies around me. You know, they got to come through God to get to me. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, God raised up a standard against him. This is what Dave DeCasey's making. So he wasn't afraid of, he feared no man. He had reverence for God, though, and that made the difference. So now he could have an influence socially. And that computed to rest for him, knowing that no matter what happens, God is for me. God is on my side. You know what I'm saying? And didn't deny that there was not enemies out there. Didn't deny that there were people that wanted to take him out. But at the same time, he also acknowledged that God is on my side. I'm a man after God's own heart. Even though he made mistakes, even though he fell short, that one thing didn't change. That's why he said, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew within me a right and a steadfast spirit. He didn't go say, God, if you find something in me. He now knows that it's in there. Why? He's a man of war, but he's also a worshiper, you know? And so it's just figuring out which button do you push at the right time. When it's a time to war, go war. Trust God in war. If it's a time to worship, then go worship. You know, that's a weapon you can use too against your enemy. A lot of times worship, you use it against your own personal internal enemy. Those wars going on in your soul, in your body, in your mind, in your spirit. And David got, you know, a book here with 150 Psalms in there. And when you start to listen to them, you know, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Over there in the book of Psalms, chapter 23, verse 4, the King James Bible. He's letting you know right there, I know my enemies are many. Some of them are mightier than I. Saul tried to kill him. You know, his son tried to kill him. Other people out there in charge of army tried to kill him. But David didn't fear what man could do to him because he knew, man, as long as I keep it right with God, no matter where I go, I'm going to have favor. That's what brings social rest. If you've carried yourself in such a way, you've defended the poor, you fought for nations that were weaker against some of the armies that came against God's people. They knew they could call on King David. They were loyal to him, you know? And they knew if we sent a rider and tell him, David, we're on the attack. David was going to take his warriors, his praisers, his worshipers, he was going to posture them, and they were going to march off the battle, being led by God. And as they were going out, the weapons of their warfare that they used, they were mighty to God to pull them down strong. They were singing praise and worship. They were praying people. And they were doing it. It was so loud that the enemies could hear. And it sounded like it may have been 15 people, but it sounded like 15,000. And as these enemies were laying out there in the encampment, they heard this noise, this mighty roar. And the Bible said it came up over the bushes of the mulberry bushes, which were very tall bushes. And they were using that as a kind of camouflage. But the Bible says as those sounds went up, it caused confusion in the enemy's camp. But God used it and set ambushments against the enemy. In other words, they turned on each other. And David got credit for bringing social rest in the region. But it didn't come without a price. He had to fight for it, you know. But he used these particular weapons. And because he had war in his heart, he was a master strategist. Because he had a goal and an objective in mind to bring social rest to the surrounding people. And they loved David even more for that. Okay, because he created that environment. And he himself now had rest, even though it was temporary, because he slipped and he messed up. And that kind of caused him some internal strife, some internal problems. But one thing about it, David knew about it. He knew who to get it right with. So that it would spill over out there to the social arena. Why? He still had to go out there and be king. He still had to lead. He still had to live among them people. You know? And so the rest that he created for himself also was created for the people. He shared that with them. They partook of that. And it brought social rest wherever he lay, wherever he was recognized as king. Oh, they loved David, you know, and David loved God. And that, to me, is the key right there for social rest. And so he talks about it. He calls it a covenant. I believe through all that David went through that caused some unrest that turned into social rest for him personally and then for the nation under his leadership created a certain type of rest for everybody they hadn't experienced before. They were in war all the time, but there were times when they had rest too. It was created by his leadership. And we added one more rest to it the other day. We called it creative rest. When you're trusting God, whether you have war in your heart, on your mind, guess what? It's the worship that's in you balances that out. And when we say worship, we're just not talking about singing. We're also talking about reverence. We're also talking about, you know, serving God, honoring God, you know, praying to God. All these are parts of worship, living for God, you know, not just talking about it, but living about it, being about it. You know, David, that was David. That's how we get all these songs he wrote. And the Bible tells us, man, make a new song in your heart. Sing a new song unto the Lord. Every time you encounter a situation or a struggle, sing a new song unto the Lord. You know, and we got plenty of words that we can make songs out of, melodies in our heart. You know, a new song. Don't be just giving God the problem. Give him what you know he can do based on what he's done. And it might just spill over, you know, in your neighborhood, in your family, you know, in your job. We never know. We've been experiencing a lot of that. We take him with us and we share him. And a lot of times it encourages other people that we come in contact in the marketplace, on the job site, in the community, you know, in these encounters we have, you know, doctor's office, wherever we go. In the book of Romans, chapter 15, verse 13, the King James Bible, listen to this. Now, Paul wrote this letter. Rome had a lot of stuff too going on. But listen to what Paul wrote to the church there. It says, now the God of hope, sound like the same God that David, you know, was accustomed to, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing. So everything starts. Any type of rest, social rest, personal rest, mental rest, emotional rest, spiritual rest, all starts with the work that God said we ought to do. We learned this out of the book of John, chapter 6, I want to say verse 29, where it talks about what is the work of God? Believing. Look at what it yields for us. Joy and peace in believing. We can create that rest. For myself, social environment that I operate in, you know, just by believing that ye may abound where? In hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So it ain't me, it's the one that's greater in us.
That's right.
Because he shared that love abroad in our hearts so that when we go out and we believe, there's joy and peace. This is what makes up the kingdom of God. Righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. That's in the book of Romans, chapter 14, the previous chapter from here. So you see it continues. That's the kingdom of God. Not meat and drink, not material things, you know, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the book of Romans, chapter 14, verse 16 to 18. And it says, when we do that, just like David learned, Paul learned, we will be accepted of God and approved of men. Because they'll see the love. They'll see the joy. They'll see the peace. You know? And he says, this may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And usually, when you're free and you're able to operate in your belief, you ain't got to go out, man, and beat nobody down and beat them over the head. You know? Just be about it. Like a city that's been on a hill can't be hid. Letting your light so shine that men and women will see your good work and they too will glorify our Father which is in heaven. By this shall people know that we are his disciples. You know, we don't have to force it. You know, we just build what we preach. You know? And then he goes on to say in the book of Psalms, another one of David's writings, book of Psalms chapter 94, verses 12 through 14 of the King James Bible. Now, we're talking about social rest here. So let's see what he says here. Verse 12, he says, blessed, and that word blessed means fortunate, worthy to be envied, you know, highly favored, you know, that's what that word is meaning, is the man whom thou chasteneth, O Lord, and teaches him out of thy law. See, David learned this. He couldn't forget this. He couldn't be separate from this. He couldn't part from this. Remember now, man had war in his heart, but he had worship in there too. And God would inspire him, and he would write these songs. He would get alone, you know, in that quiet place, and he would begin to create rest for himself so in the Lord, so that when he went out to war, he took it with him. Why he said, hide thy word, that I might hide thy word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Even though I'm going out here to fight a war, but David didn't go out there, man, just for the sake of fighting a war. He went out there, man, to protect the people that were being slaughtered. You know? And he knew God had ordained for him to go and lead the people into victory. You know? And so he says, look, when I messed up, even though I was a man after God's own heart, God had every right to chastise me. Why? Why? Because David knew God loved him. We got to know God chastens those whom he loves. And when we out and about, we know that the love that's in our hearts been put there by the Holy Ghost. And it does us no good until we give it away. Who do I give it away to? People we encounter in the social arena, outside of the church. It's easy when you're in the church with people that are like you. But man, when you go out here in this world that's against you in the world but not other world, one thing I know that the world needs is love. And against love, there is no law. Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the last verse, now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. You know, Jesus said, how can you say you love me? You ain't never seen. Hate your brother you see every day. That's that soldier. See, when you love, you'll have rest, and it'll bring rest, because we often say free people, you know, and free people always are at rest. Wow, we took God's yoke, and we learned of him. Come on. And now we talk different, we act different, we live different, we do things different, and people pick up on that. And a lot of times it leads to a conversation, and we get to share with them what's behind my smile. What's behind the peace and the joy that I have. Can't be out there being no hell raiser, you know, chip on your shoulder, mad at everybody, want your way, don't get your way, and now you're upset, you know. And sometimes it does more damage and create, you know, other consequences and situations that only hurt me, destroys my testimony, you know. And he says, oh Lord, and teaches him out of thy law. So we ever going to learn how to have social rest and peace, guess what? It's got to come out of God's law. If I go get it out of some other way that seems right, it leads to more destruction. But when we look in that perfect law of liberty, as we learn in the book of James, verse chapter verse 25 to 27, any person that looks in God's perfect law of liberty, the law of God, and continue therein, we shall have success. And it'll be good success, not only for me, but for others that I encounter too. Why? I'm going in joy, I'm going in peace in the Holy Ghost, you know? And he goes on to say in verse 13 in that chapter, he says, that thou mayest give him what? Rest from the days of adversity. Yes. This is a man of war not saying this. So he remembered what happened before they went to war. He remembered what went down in war. But man, he also rejoiced on what happened afterward. Yes. He knew that God gave them rest in those days of adversity. Until the pit be digged for the wicked. Ooh. David knew what happened to the wicked. So look, when they come against you, they're coming against God. For the God we represent, the God we serve. Any weapon formed against us, God is not going to allow it to prosper over us. How's he going to do it? He's going to raise up a standard against them. You know, he's going to push them enemies down for us. When you look in the book of Psalms chapter 44, I want to say verse 5 of the King James Bible. And I asked Pastor Sharon to get that scripture from me. This one just came in the spirit. God pushes down our enemies for us. We might be going out there up against them, but it's God. David again wrote that song, The War Strategy. He pushed our enemies down. Matter of fact, that was my reference scripture when we started the presidential prayer team. Push, pray into something happen, praise into something happen, you know? And listen to what it says in the book of Psalms, chapter 44, another scripture by David, verse 5. Through thee, talking about God, through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thee, Lord. David learned this, man, in battle, you know? And he knew that afterwards, some days of adversity, enemy pushed down, we tread upon serpents and scorpions, not over all the power works of the enemy. We keep him under our feet. Then we're going to have rest. Nothing to be uptight about, stressed out about. Why? God gives us the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions of all the power and the works of the enemy. Push down our enemy. We keep praying until something happens. We pray until something happens. We pull down strongholds until something happens. We push. We keep pushing. We give birth to those things that be not as though they are. Because we have the word of God impregnated us. So some results beyond adversity supposed to benefit us. And then he goes on to say, until the pit be digged for the wicked. So we don't stop until we see them consumed. You know, verse 14, he says, for the Lord will not cast off his people. That's enough right there, man, to put us at ease. Neither will he forsake his inheritance. That's the book of Psalms, chapter 94, you know, verses 12 through 14. This, again, is from David now. He learned these things. Did he not have adversity? Yeah, he had adversity. Some of it he created. And God gave him strategy how to deal with it. You know, he still had enemies, you know. Also in the book of Psalms, chapter 91, verse 1 of the King James Bible, check this out. He said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. That's the key right there. Always remember when we go out from my secret place, remember God, we find us a closet, spend some time with God, get ourselves built up, and we go out into the marketplace or out into the public arena sociably. We're going to encounter people. We don't know who we're going to encounter. They might be black. They might be white. They may be immigrant. They may be homeless. Might be a doctor. We're angry people, upset people, you know, overweight. We don't know. But we know we're going to encounter. We have to look at them the way God looked at them, though. They're all souls, and they belong to God. And one of the things I learned as a social worker, we have to learn to be like Jesus and meet people where they're at. So many times we want to meet them where we at. I'm saved. I'm the Christian. I'm a pastor. I'm a minister. I'm this. I'm that. And we just want people to jump up there where we at. And they're supposed to understand who I am. No, we have to be willing like Jesus to meet people where they're at. If we ever going to win a soul to Christ, which soul winning is the key. I got to be willing sometimes to swallow a bit of my pride, a little self-righteousness, and I got to be able to humble myself under the hand of God. And when the door opens, go in it. Don't force no doors open. Jesus said, though I stand at the door and knock, someone got to enter, open up the door and invite me to come in. There are a lot of people need love. They might not know how to express that love, but when we show ourselves friendly, that'll open the door sometime. May not all the time, but we have to be able to discern when we know it's God. And God put us in situations sometimes. And sometimes the light go off and sometimes it don't. Sometimes we get so close to a situation until, you know, we warn when we should be worshiping. We got to discern what the difference. And when I say worship, remember, we're talking about serving. We're talking about, you know, all those things we do for God. We're not just talking about worship, singing songs. sometimes that new song is, it just let peace have her perfect, patience have her perfect work, you know, and let God open the door, and then we step in it. When he opened it, if I open it, it might slam back in my face. And we have to discern and know when it's God, you know, and he'll let you know. He'll let you know. Use it, that person will be the key that I encounter. A person, things they'll say will trigger something in me, you know. But if we all stressed out about something, uptight about something, angry about something, I might miss some cues. I might miss some little signals. And that person could be your assignment that day in the midst of everything I'm dealing with. That might be the person the Lord want to save through my ministry or through my witness. But my brain is so clogged right now. We call it brain fog. And fog sometimes it's residue from a whole bunch of other stuff we're trying to process up there in our head. And I forgot my emotional rest, you know. So I'm taking my emotions on my shoulder with me. And that's human. That's just natural for human beings. Remember, we are human. We live in a body. We are a spirit. We live in a body. And we have a soul. And soul sometimes is personality. You know, it's what we imagine. Sometimes what we imagine ain't really what it really is. We just imagine that that's what it is. But the Bible says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think of him. That's the imagine of him. According to the power of God that worketh in us. In the book of Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20, the King James Bible. Got to remember, I'm outside of the home now. I'm out in the marketplace, you know. So what I did at home to prepare myself ought to carry over out in the marketplace. But if I didn't do no work at home, it's going to be kind of hard. But if I was at home stressed out, chances are if I didn't take care of that stress, I'm going to carry it with me. So he said, he that dwelleth in the secret place. Now the secret place can be physical. It can be spiritual, okay. Remember we talked about Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10, the King James Bible. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they're safe. That can be a physical place where you spend time with the Lord. It could be a spiritual place where you ascend to when you're out and about. Remember what we said, he whose mind is stayed on the Lord, he keeps him in perfect peace. So it just depends on where your mind at. Wherever your mind is at, whatever you're thinking, that's what it's going to be. So wherever I put my mind, I got to think on those things that are good, honest, true, and lovely, no matter where I am physically, that my heart and my mind might be kept. And if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Thinking is so important. It leads to action, which leads to results, habits we form. And once you get good at it, it'll always follow you no matter where you go. Your mind will stay stayed on God. And it'll carry over. Shadow of the Almighty. And we would say of the Lord, he's our refuge and our fortress. In him do we put our trust. I put my trust in my ability. David knew I'm in a covenant with God. He making mistake after mistake, taking his eyes off God, getting people killed, creating situations. But he knew, man, I'm still a worshiper. Even though he had brain fog at a moment. Even though he took his eyes off of God. Happens to the best of us, happens to the saved of us, the elite. He even said the elite don't fall away in the end. And we seeing this. Last scripture, and then we're going to bring it in just some comments here. Well, I got two. It says in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 3 of the King James Bible, all the way back to the beginning, it says, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because that in it he had rested from all his work, which God created and made. So here we are. A lot of times when you are well rested, you know, we work 8 hours a day. We work some of us 7 days a week, but we're better people for the following day when we get the proper rest physically. When that happens, it carries over to my social works become obvious. If I didn't get a lot of sleep that night because I was up at the emergency room, I was up dealing with phone calls, I was up praying all night, I was up because I couldn't rest, dealing with stuff, bills got to be paid, I got to do this, I'm trying to pay bills online, and I didn't get a whole lot of rest, it is going to change the way you enter into your workplace or wherever you go that next day in the to tell you from personal experience, you're going to be more agitated. Mm-hmm. And don't let nobody cut in front of you on the way to wherever you're going. You might say something to them that you might not like. You know, some folks lift your finger. What do you do when that happens? Mm-hmm. You know, didn't get a lot of sleep last night. And first thing we say, you know, we don't know what we might say. We're a different person is what I'm saying. But the Lord is saying to you here, physical rest sometimes has a lot to do with social rest, mental rest, all of it works together. And if we fall in one area, we neglect ourselves in one area, it's going to carry over in another area. And we're talking about social rest. Now, the other day we talked about physical rest, we talked about spiritual rest, we talked about emotional rest. Now we're talking about social rest, because these other levels of rest carry over into the social arena. And if you be honest about it, if you do not get a good amount of sleep physically, it wears on you emotionally, spiritually. It's like brain fog, where you normally are so vibrant and so alive. You might feel a little sluggish, and people say, "You all right? You okay? You feeling okay?" And we might snap at them.
That's right.
But they're observing things that we don't observe about ourselves, because we're thinking I'm good to go. You know, not without that rest. And the book of Romans, last scripture, chapter 15, verse 13, the King James Bible says this: "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in what? Believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Okay, that's the key. Depend on the Holy Ghost. We asked him early in the prayer, lead, guide, and direct us. Okay? Into everything that God got planned for us. Without the help of the Holy Ghost coming alongside of me, helping me at that time, I might end up, man, you know, operating in the flesh, or my feelings, or my anxiety, or my stress. You know? That's what unrested flesh would cause you to do. All right, then. So we're going to end right there tonight. Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord God, for what we've learned tonight. Social rest is important, yes, because, Lord God, it's maximized when we get all the other rest that we need. And physical rest is very important, the emotional rest, spiritual rest, and social rest. So we thank you tonight, God, for understanding. Social rest is important. For understanding, we are going to encounter some situations and circumstances. We are going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We are going to have some weapons formed against us. David did. Paul did. Anyone that tried to serve you going to suffer persecution for your name's sake. But God, we're just thanking and praising you, because we can prepare ourselves for whatever weapon is formed against us. We can trust you by keeping our mind stayed on you, that you might keep us in perfect peace. So we thank you and we praise you for what we've learned, how to deal with our social environment by just having a time of social rest, not getting uptight, not taking our anxiety out on others, God, but letting our light shine, that they'll see our good works and they too will want to glorify our Father which is in heaven, because we walk in joy and peace, being led by the Holy Ghost, believing. Lord God, that's the word. We believe that no matter where we go, you never leave us or forsake us. You're with us to the very end of this age. And we thank you for it now, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Now let us hide this word in our hearts, that we might not sin against you. Shield it in us now. Holy Ghost, we ask you to do it in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
For your name's sake, Lord, it's done. Amen and amen. All right, then. Well, praise the Lord. We're going to end right there. And we're going to open up the line tonight for comments. We'll begin with our very own Pastor Sharon.